O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars that thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Amen.
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even the enemy, came to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock,
yes,
and established my goings.
Amen.
And hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I love the Bible.
Amen.
I really do. I love the Bible. How about you? I love the Bible. I read it each day. I love the Bible. It guides my way. I love the Bible hidden in my heart. I love the Bible, and we shall never part.
Amen.
What a wonderful book.
Yes.
It's the book of books.
Yep.
And I'm going to invite you right now, without any further ado, to open your, by the way, did I tell you, when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about today in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. As you're finding your place in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives.
Amen.
And the Bible is right.
Amen.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm glad it's settled right here on this earth in this wonderful book that we call the Bible. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful and precious and perfect and pure and pontifical and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version.
Amen.
I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, the last two verses of that chapter, and I shall read them after we pray. Would you join with me as we pray together? Our Father, we are grateful for thy word this morning. We know it's sharper than a two-edged sword. We know it's like a hammer, it's like a fire. I pray that it would pierce our hearts this morning, those that are without Christ, that it would pierce them to conviction of trusting him as their Savior. For church members who feel that they need something more in their relationship, not only to Christ, but to his church. And then some, Father, who are looking for a church home. May they know that we would welcome them into the fellowship of Worth Baptist Church today. And may it be so is our prayer in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving, amen. Now, Ephesians chapter 3 at verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And so may it be. Would you underscore three words in verse 21? In the church. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a day when many attacks are being made against the church. The church is the prime target of its critics today. The politicians say the church has not done enough for the government. Environmentalists say the church has not done enough for climate change. Educators say the church has not done enough for education. By the way, where are the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic? Isn't it a tragedy that in some states, some school districts, down in the grades, 1, 2, and 3, and below, even preschool, they're teaching them gender change. They want them to know all about it. Well, when are the brain-dead politicians in Austin and in Washington going to learn that God made a boy a boy and God made a girl, and God doesn't want it to be changed? Thank you. The welfare agents say the church has not done enough for the poor. Outsiders say, well, I would join your church, but there's just too many hypocrites in it. And I say to them, friend, I'd be ashamed to admit that I was small enough to hide behind a hypocrite. And besides all that, friend, come on in. There's always room for one more. Forever we're hearing and reading about what's wrong with the church. Well, I'm serving notice to the church critics today. I'm striking back. I'm preaching from the subject, what's right with the church. I submit to you in the first place that the church has the right foundation. Listen to what Iago quoting Jesus already. Is that all right? Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Upon this rock, not Peter, the pebble, the small stone, but upon this rock the huge rock, the bedrock, if you please. It's firm, it's flawless, and it's forever fixed. Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. A bold declaration I want you to hear. He said, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? To you, to Jesus, for refuge hath fled. Upon this rock. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've been a church member since I was 11 years old. That's been 79 years. That's a long time. I know I don't look it, but you know, if you got it, flaunt it. Yeah. And I want you to know, I've never apologized for being a church member. I've never been sorry. I've never been ashamed. Indeed, and in fact, I'm proud to be a member of Worth Baptist Church.
Amen.
4900 Campus Drive, Fort Worth, Tarrant County, Texas, United States of America, planet Earth.
Yes.
I'm happy that I belong where I am today. The church has done more for me than any other organization or institution or agency on earth.
Right.
Everything that I am and everything that I have, I owe to Jesus and his church.
Amen.
Would you go back with me to verse 21? Unto him, that is unto God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, the God of creation, the God of the covenants, the God of the consummation of all things, unto him, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, unto him, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto him be glory in the church, not in the club, not in some social organization, but in the church.
Amen.
There's no substitute for the church.
Right.
The church is here to stay until Jesus comes for it.
Amen.
In the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. The church reached me with the gospel when I was just a lad. The first place that I heard the gospel of blood redemption was in the church. The church educated me. I was ordained by the authority of the church, the Baptist Tabernacle in Danville, Virginia, 71 or more years ago. The church that my dad founded and pastored for 30 years before we went home to be with the Lord, and out of whose ministry more than 100 young men were called into the ministry. The church provided me a lifetime of opportunities to serve God. I unashamedly, unapologetically, unequivocally stand in defense of the church of Jesus Christ, which he purchased with his own blood.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm a member of the blood-bought, blood-washed, blood-ransomed, blood-redemption church of the living God. Now, Jesus is the foundation of the church, and the foundation, ladies and gentlemen, is what has made the church what it is. Upon this rock, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is unimpeachable.
Right.
Jesus Christ is unshakable.
Right.
Jesus Christ is unsinkable, and he's the same yesterday and today and forever. How powerful, how precious, how perfect. And he is my Savior, my sovereign, my sufficiency, my supply, my strength, my satisfaction, my security, my standard bearer, my shepherd, and my sacrifice. He's all to me. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He's more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. What a wonderful Savior. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the root and offspring of David. He's the bright and morning star. He's the Alpha and the Omega.
Amen.
He's the great I Am. Thank God the church has the right foundation.
Amen.
Here it is again. Upon this rock I will build my church. That brings me to my second point. I just have 33 points, so just sit back and relax. No. The church has the right inflammation. The church is inflamed, ladies and gentlemen, by the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8. Do you believe what Jesus said? Jesus said, ye shall receive power after you have reached the highest level of the world of academics. I got it wrong. Help me out, folks. I got it wrong. Jesus said, ye shall receive power after you have become wealthy enough to purchase it. No, it's not for sale. Jesus said, you shall receive power after you have been accepted in society. No. Emphatically no. 10,000 times no. Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
Amen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, make a note of this. The church can operate without outside sustenance or elaborate buildings. The church can operate without dignified personalities or sophisticated machinery. The church can operate without scientific formulas or philosophical theories or political programs. But hear me, ladies and gentlemen, the church cannot operate without the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Has it ever occurred to you what the early church did not have? The early church did not have radios or TVs or CDs or DVDs or PhDs. The church did not have fax machines or copy machines or computers. The early church did not have iPhones or earphones or headphones or smartphones, not even dumb phones. But ladies and gentlemen, they did have the power of the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
And it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that they shook the Roman Empire to its foundation. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit that they experienced revival across Europe and Asia. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit that they witnessed for Jesus, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. They knew the depth of Zechariah 4:6, where God said, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen.
I warn you, unless there is within us a power from above us, we will succumb to everything around us. Thank God for the Holy Spirit power. That brings me to my third thought. The church has the right inspiration. You see, the church derives its inspiration from the Bible. And the Bible is the only book on planet Earth that God unreservedly, unhesitatingly, unequivocally committed himself to honor, to uphold, to defend, and to preserve. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:16 that I quoted a moment ago. All Scripture. Underscore that word all. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Away with the Dalmatian theory that says the Bible is inspired in spots. Well, my question is, who can pick out the spots?
Right. Come on.
Away with that. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God.
Amen.
Now, what does that mean? That simply means that God breathed. God breathed the Scripture. And by the way, God does not have halitosis. Every word that God uttered had the perfume of the aroma of heaven on it.
Amen.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Someone said, well, I believe the Bible, but I just can't accept the miracles. Well, my friend, if you do away with the miracles in the Bible, you do away with the Bible. Because the Bible is a miracle in itself.
Amen.
Written over a period of 1,500 or 1,600 years by 40 different writers who lived in 13 different cities on 3 different continents. And yet there's not one single contradiction in any of the 66 books.
Amen.
Nobody but the Holy Spirit could do that. Remember, they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the Bible never has been and never shall be outdated, outmoded, or outsold. The principles that are in the Bible are the same today as they were the day in which it was written. God has not changed His mind.
Amen.
I give you His word on it. Malachi chapter 3. I'm not going to verse 10 now. You know what that is. I'm going to verse 6. Where God said, I am the Lord. I change not.
Amen.
Now, if you go with science, you're going to discover that science changes. If you go with education, you're going to learn that education changes. If you go with medicine, you're going to learn that medicine changes. But my friend, hear me, when you go with the Bible, you'll discover that the Bible never changes. Bible stands like a rock undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it and prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I'll plant my feet on its foundation, for the Bible stands.
Amen.
When I was a student at the Bible Baptist Seminary more than 70 years ago, I heard J. Frank Norris say when he lifted up his Bible, I have here a book, the only book, God's book. Stand on it, young men, and challenge the world. That's what I've been trying to do. 71 years. Open the Bible, find Him there. Open the Bible, don't despair. Open the Bible, see His face. Open the Bible, trust His grace. Open the Bible, look clearly above. Open the Bible and share God's love. Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Oh, how love I Thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in Thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Every word of God is pure, therefore Thy servant loveth. The words of the Lord are pure words, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Forever.
Amen.
It's preserved forever. The Bible, Jesus said, the Scriptures cannot be broken. I'm quoting Jesus again. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. What a wonderful book is our Bible. That brings me to my fourth point. The church has the right combination. Now, sadly enough, some churches today are resorting to outlandish, unscriptural, unorthodox, circus-like programs in order to survive. They're bringing in worldly music and worldly methods that pollute and desecrate the holy atmosphere of God's sacred house. The time has come, ladies and gentlemen, in some churches when the members think that their pastor has to be a stockbroker, a sportscaster, and a stand-up comedian to draw a crowd. Thank God. Look around. We don't have any of that. We have the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
And the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We don't need anything else.
Right.
My recommendation today to all churches would be that they incorporate the combination that's found in the book of Acts. And it's God's plan. Cannot be improved upon. Must not be changed or compromised or circumvented or challenged. And here it is in Acts chapter 1. This is the combination. The prayers went up. Chapter 2, the power came down. Chapter 3, the people went out. Chapter 4, the prospects came in. Chapter 5, the preaching went on. Chapter 6, watch this now, the persecution broke loose. And what did the church do? They did exactly what you think they would have done. They formed a church-wide pity party and sat around sucking their thumbs and singing, I ain't got nobody. No, 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 no. They tried that combination all over again, and guess what? It worked. They went from 12 to 120, from 120 to 3,000, from 3,000 to 5,000, from 5,000 to uncounted numbers. G. Campbell Morgan said the church in Jerusalem may have gone to 125,000 members. Wow. That's the combination. They won great victories because they had the right combination. Let me summarize that combination with 18 words. Taken from Acts 5 and verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. We are not trying to develop some new scientific theory or philosophical theory. We're staying with the book.
Amen.
We're staying with the gospel. I'm glad that Worth Baptist Church is that kind of church.
Amen.
Now, one final thought, and I'll be through. The church has the right declaration. We have but one message to declare. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul very clearly, very completely, and very concisely defined the gospel. What is the gospel? Here it is. Paul said, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's the gospel 101. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing added, Nothing subtracted. There it is. I want you to listen to Paul's stern warning in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. Paul said, though we, speaking of himself and his fellow laborers, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. The curse, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the curse of God rests upon any preacher that preaches anything but the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ for salvation.
Amen.
God's curse is upon that church and that pastor. May God have mercy. I'm glad that Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Underscore that word salvation. Capitalize it. Synchronize it. Organize it. Memorize it. Canonize it. Salvation. Can I tell you that salvation is not something that Caesar could provide with all of his power? Can I tell you that salvation is not something that Socrates could prescribe with all of his wisdom? Can I tell you that salvation is not something that Nero could proclaim with all of his charisma? All the lawmakers on planet Earth cannot legislate salvation. All the industrialists on this planet cannot manufacture salvation. All the wizards of Wall Street cannot accumulate enough wealth to buy salvation. I love the little chorus that we all sing, the students and faculty at the Norris Bible Baptist Seminary. I'm glad salvation's free.
Amen.
I'm glad salvation's free. Salvation is free for you and me. I'm glad salvation is free. Now, only three men know how to lead that little chorus. Two of them are in heaven. Louis Insminger and Gerald Fleming. And you're looking at the third one. We appreciate the young guys getting up and leading it, but you got to put it right. Glad salvation's free. Salvation is not something we can bring about with all of our education, our sophistication, and our regulation. Only God, I repeat, only God can give salvation. And he's already given it through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is written in John 3:16, the Bible in miniature, just 25 words written in red. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My friend, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you do not have the assurance that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. You've never been born again. You've never been saved. I've got some good news for you. Jesus paid your sin debt at Calvary when he bore your sins in his own body on the tree, that you, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. And by the way, he didn't just put a down payment on your sin debt and expect you to pay it out in installments. Oh, no. Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
All to him I owe.
Yes, amen.
sin had left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. You can't get any whiter than that, folks. He washed it in his own blood, made us kings and priests unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. I invite you, if you've never trusted Christ, to come today. There'll be somebody here to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're here today, you're seeking a church home, I would recommend, highly recommend, Worth Baptist Church for your membership. We invite you to come. We love you. We want to help you. We want to teach you and preach to you. Church members, let me say a word to you. Are you fully dedicated to the ministries of the church? Or do you just come on Sunday and yawn a little bit and go home and take a nap and watch television the rest of the night? How deep is your dedication? How high is your exaltation? Are you just in it for security and say, well, I'm a church member. When I die, I know the pastors will preach my funeral. No, you're preaching your funeral every day you live. Or we might conduct your services and say, he was a good fella most of the time. Or she was a good gal sometime. But really, I want to be serious with you. Are you really involved in the ministries of the church? Do you love the church? Do you support the church? Do you pray for the church and the pastor? What is the degree of your commitment to your church? Let's stand for our prayer, please. Our heads are bowed. The altar is open. The invitation has begun. If God is speaking to your heart, we're not going to put pressure on you and say you've got to come to the altar. No, no, no. But we invite you, if God has spoken to your heart about any of these matters or something else, why don't you just step out of your seat? Don't be too proud to kneel at an altar. Some of you haven't kneeled at an altar. Your knee bones will break if you got down there. That's how long it's been. Don't be ashamed to kneel before God. One day every knee is going to bow. I invite you to come. Whether it's a church member or someone seeking a church home or someone wants to trust Christ, I'm going to pray. Brother Corey is going to lead us in the invitation appeal. Will you come? Heavenly Father, we do not know the hearts of the people in this church, but you know every heart and every heartbeat. And I pray for those that need some help, need some strength or guidance or patience, need to be dedicated more and committed more, not just doing a little duty once in a while, or singing in the choir, or teaching a class, but really getting involved. Father, help them to get involved today. There's no place like the church. Help the unsaved to come to know Christ. And help those that are looking for a church home to step out this morning so we can welcome them into the fellowship of Worth Baptist Church. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. And with thanksgiving.